Let me ask you something before we even get going. How far is 3 miles, not on a map? In the air, looking out the windshield at 7:30 in the morning with a little haze in the air and the sun coming up off your nose. How far is 3 miles, really? Because there's a regulation that says you'd better be able to see that far. And most of the pilots who've bent metal flying into weather they had no business flying into, they'd have told you, right up until the moment it went wrong, that visibility looked just fine. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today, we're going to sit down and actually work through one of the most important regulations in the whole book, and it's one that trips up more student pilots than almost anything else on the written and in the airplane. Federal Aviation Regulation 91-155, Basic VFR Weather, minimums the rules for how far you have to be able to see, and how far you have to stay away from the clouds when you're flying under visual flight rules. Stay with me because this one matters. This is the rule that keeps you in the airplane you can't see yet from trying to occupy the same piece of sky. Before we dig in, let me tip my hat to the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and sleepless nights and a whole lot of money. aviationsoul.com. Go take a look. All right, let's walk through this together. Here's the why. First, because a rule you don't understand is a rule you'll break. The second, it gets inconvenient. When you're flying VFR, the entire system is built on one idea. See and avoid. You look out the window, you find the other traffic, and you don't hit it. That's the deal. But here's the catch. Not everybody up there is flying VFR. Somewhere out there is an airplane in the clouds, flying on instruments on an IFR clearance being vectored by air traffic control. And at some point, that airplane is going to come out of the bottom of a cloud or pop out the side of one, descending into an approach. Now picture it from your seat. You're cruising along clear day and there's a nice puffy cloud off to your right. If you're allowed to fly right up against the edge of that cloud and an IFR airplane comes shooting out of it doing 150 knots, how much time do you have to see him and turn? None. You have no time. He was invisible 1 second ago and he's filling your windshield the next. So the regulation builds you a buffer, a cushion of empty air between you and every cloud, and a minimum visibility so you can actually see far enough ahead to do something about what you find. That's all 155 really is. It's reaction time written into law. Every one of those numbers is somebody's stopwatch. Now let's get to the numbers, and I'm going to give you the one that covers most of the flying you'll do as a student and a new private pilot. Because if you learn this one code, the rest falls into place. Most of your early flying happens in Class Echo airspace and Class Charlie and Delta around towered fields below 10,000 feet. And in all of those below 10,000 feet, the basic VFR minimums are the same. Learn them as one package. 3 statute miles of visibility, 500 feet below the clouds, 1,000 feet above the clouds, and 2,000 feet horizontally from the clouds. Here's the trick I wish somebody had handed me on day one. Think of a Cessna 152-3152. 3 miles visibility, 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal, the airplane. Half of you probably trained in is also your memory aid. 3152, a Cessna 152. Say it out loud a few times on your drive home and you will never lose it. Let me make those cloud clearances real, because the numbers are abstract until you put an airplane in the picture, 500 feet below. That's not much. If there's a cloud deck above you and its bases are at, say, 3,000 to 500 feet, you can fly at 3,000 and no higher. Get sloppy, drift up to 3,200, and you are now illegally close to that cloud. Nobody's up there with a ruler, sure, but that buffer isn't for the FAA, it's for the guy descending out of that deck who needs to see you before he's on top of you. 1,000 feet above, if you want to fly on top of a scattered layer, you need to be 1,000 feet above it. That's a bigger cushion, because closure from above and below is where the fast IFR traffic lives, and 2,000 feet horizontal. This is the one people forget, those puffy fairweather cumulus on a summer afternoon. You need to give them a berth of 2,000 feet, that's more than a third of a mile. So when you're threading between building clouds and it feels like you're playing a video game dodging cotton balls, understand that legally you're supposed to keep almost half a mile off each one. If you can't, the sky is telling you something. It's telling you it's closing up. Now, a few important pieces that make this rule actually usable. Class Bravo airspace is the big exception, and it's actually the easy one. In Class Bravo, the big airspace over the major airports, the rule is 3 statute miles visibility and clear of clouds. That's it. Clear of clouds. No 500, no 1000, no 2000. Why so relaxed on the cloud clearance? Because in Bravo, everybody is talking to air traffic control and getting positive separation. The controller is keeping the airplanes apart so the regulation doesn't need to build in as much see and avoid cushion. The system is doing that work for you, just stay out of the clouds and keep your 3 miles. Then there's the flip side, and this is where new pilots get burned. Class Golf, uncontrolled airspace, the low altitude stuff close to the ground out in the rural areas. In Class Golf during the day, at or below 1,200 feet above the ground, the minimums drop way down. 1 statute mile of visibility and clear of clouds. 1 mile. Clear of clouds. That sounds generous, and legally it is. But here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Legal and safe are not the same word. 1 mile of visibility, clear of clouds, close to the ground, is legal scud running. It's a rule that exists mostly for crop dusters and folks operating off private strips who know every wire and tower in the county. For a low-time pilot on a cross-country, 1 mile of visibility down low is a trap. That's the kind of number that lures a pilot down under a lowering ceiling, following a road, until the road bends and the pilot doesn't. Just because golf lets you do it doesn't mean the airplane, or you, are equipped to survive it. And at night, Class Golf tightens up. Below 1,200 feet at night, you're back to 3 miles in that 500, 1,000, 2,000 cloud clearance, same as controlled airspace. Because at night, see and avoid barely works at all. All you've got are position lights, and you need every bit of that visibility to find them. Now let's climb up high for a second, because there's one more set of numbers. At or above 10,000 feet mean sea level, in controlled airspace, the minimums go up 5 statute miles of visibility, 1,000 feet below the clouds, 1,000 feet above, and 1 statute mile horizontal. Why does it jump up there? Speed. Above 10,000 feet, you can legally fly faster, and airplanes are closing on each other quicker. So you need to see farther and give the clouds a wider berth to have the same reaction time. It's the same stopwatch. It's just that at altitude, the clock runs faster, so the numbers have to grow to keep up. 5 miles, and think of it as 1,000, 1,000 and a mile. Let me put you in the airplane now, because this is where the ACS lives. You're a student pilot planning your solo cross-country. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate expect you to know these VFR minimums cold, and more than that, they expect you to apply them to a real go-no-go decision. The examiner isn't going to just ask you to recite 3-1-5-2 like a parrot. The examiner is looking for a pilot who can look at a weather briefing, look at the airspace along the route, and tell them honestly whether the flight can legally and safely be made. So here's the scenario. You call for your weather briefing. Your departure airport is reporting 6 miles visibility. Few clouds at 4,500. Great. Your destination, 90 minutes away, is forecast for 4 miles visibility and a broken layer at 2,500 in Class Echo airspace. Walk through it with me. 4 miles visibility, is that legal for Class Echo? Yes, you need 3. You've got 4. Good. Now the clouds. Broken layer at 2,500 feet. To stay legal, you need to be 500 feet below that, so no higher than 2,000. Can you cruise at 2,000 feet safely for that leg? What's the terrain? What's the tallest obstacle? Remember that little blue maximum elevation figure in each sectional grid? If you're squeezed between a 2,500-foot ceiling and a 1,500-foot ridge, your safe altitude window just got very, very narrow. That's the decision the examiner wants to watch you make, not the memorized number, the judgment. The number is just the tool. And here's the honest part, the part I promised you I'd never gloss over. That forecast is a forecast. Weather doesn't read the regulation. The clouds can come down, the visibility can drop. And 90 minutes into a flight, tired, a little behind the airplane, watching that ceiling squeeze you lower and lower toward the ridgeline, is the worst possible moment to be doing this math for the first time. So do it on the ground. Do it at the kitchen table with the whole briefing in front of you. Draw the line. Decide. Before you ever start the engine, what visibility and what ceiling turns this into a no-go? Write the number down, because a limit you set in a warm room with a cup of coffee is a limit you'll actually honor. A limit you try to invent in the cockpit while the weather's going down around you is a limit you'll talk yourself right past. That's the whole point of 155, when you strip it down. It isn't a trivia question. It's the FAA handing you a set of hard edges so that on the days your judgment gets fuzzy. And it will get fuzzy. There's still a bright line you promised yourself you wouldn't cross. Let me leave you with the 3 things to actually take flying. 1. Learn the core package cold. 3. 1. 5. 2. Cessna 152. 3 miles, 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal. That covers most of the airspace you'll ever touch. 2. Remember that Bravo is clear of clouds because the controller is keeping you apart, and Golf Down Low is a legal number that is not always a safe one. Legal and safe are different words. 3. Make your weather decision on the ground, in numbers, before you fly. The regulation gives you the floor. Your personal minimums, and they should be higher than the regulation when you're new, give you the margin. The information in today's segment comes straight out of Federal Aviation Regulation 91-155 and the FAA's own Aeronautical Information Manual, and you can and should go read 155 for yourself. It's short, it's worth your evening. You'll find more from the show over at radiohangar.com whenever you want to dig in a little deeper. So, next clear morning, do me one favor. Pick out something on the horizon you know is about 3 miles off. A water tower, a ridge, a stand of trees. Really look at it. Fix it in your memory. Because someday the sky is going to try to convince you that a lot less than that is plenty. And on that day, I want you to already know exactly what 3 miles looks like. Fly safe. I'll see you back in the pattern.